Well, the scripture for this morning is from Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, and we'll be looking at verses 6 through 9. But we'll back up to the beginning of the chapter to give us the context in which these verses appear. So, either just listen or read along to this portion of God's Word. This is Galatians 3, verses 1 through 9. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law, or by hearing with faith? Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. I had occasion two times this past week to be into the seminary. For different reasons, and during one of those occasions, Marlon and I are on the student oversight committee, and during one of our breaks, an old friend stuck his head in the door. He had gone to seminary with him, and I hadn't seen him in ages, and he was teaching across the hall that evening. And it was great to see him, and I always loved his accent. He was originally raised in Ghana, and he has a wonderful accent. And it reminded me as I was preparing for this sermon, what a blessing it is to have those kinds of relationships in the body of Christ. Now, the seminary is a great place to see that. We often don't see that in our own little corner of the kingdom here in Upper Burl. But when you go to the seminary, people come from all around the world to be educated in the gospel ministry there. And as I was in seminary, squeezing 3 years of education into six, we had the occasion to meet people from all around the world. And even today, there are people there from Asia and South America and Europe and Africa, pretty much every continent but Australia, I think, right now. And what a blessing it is to see that God has a people from all around the world. And that's one of the themes that Paul will be exploring here in chapter 3. And he's doing this specifically because he's reminding us, reminding his original readers as well, that God is saving a people from all around the world. And he is not doing it by the works of the law. He is not doing it by requiring those people to become Jews, to get circumcised, to eat kosher, to do all of those Old Testament ceremonial law activities. And even in the Old Testament, those things were never ever given for people to earn their salvation, even then. The point that he will be pressing home in our verses this morning is that salvation has always been by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And he goes back to prove his point this morning to Abraham. And the Jews that are hearing that and are looking at that would go, ooh, Abraham. You're bringing up Abraham. He's the great example for them. He's the beginning of their nation, of their people. And Paul's point here is that Abraham was saved that same way. Not by what he did, not by his ethnicity, but by God's grace alone, by faith alone. And let's see that as we work our way through. First, salvation and family by faith alone in verses 6 and 7. Now, the Apostle Paul, as we found, is writing this letter in 49 AD to this presbytery in Galatia, part of what we would see as modern-day Turkey. And within that past year, some false teachers had come into these congregations that Paul helped to found by his own preaching of the gospel. They were telling them that one is saved not simply by faith in Christ, but also by things that you had to do, chief of which is becoming circumcised, to essentially become a Jew, to follow the ceremonial law. In chapters 1 and 2, Paul very strongly condemned the Judaizers' teaching as a false gospel that itself does not save. The only true saving gospel is salvation in Christ alone and what he has done for people that cannot help themselves, and through trusting faith alone and not anything that we do. He said quite clearly in chapter 2, verse 16, a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. Rather than being a way of salvation by religious deeds or obedience, the Old Testament ceremonial law pointed to Christ and is now inactive. And the law as a whole in the Old Testament was never meant to be a way to earn salvation, but actually to point out our sins and our need of a Savior. Paul speaks of his own life in chapter 2 and says, "For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God." The law points out that we are sinners in need of God's grace and in need of a Savior. The true gospel tells believers that life comes only from God and only as we are united to Christ. Galatians 2 and 20, Paul writes, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." In chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 that we looked at last week, Paul asked the Galatians a series of questions, pointing out the foolishness of abandoning the gift of salvation for something that you try to earn, and by trying to earn it, you can't get it. It's sheer foolishness to abandon grace for a works-based salvation. And his questions pointed out all that they have in Christ, including the blessings of the Holy Spirit, and that they did not get these, and they did not gain the Holy Spirit by works or by ceremonies, but only by faith alone. And so here in our verses 6 through 9, Paul points to the Old Testament patriarch Abraham, the father of the Jews, to prove his point. The Judaizers were saying that the Gentiles essentially had to become Jews to be saved. They had to become circumcised. They had to eat kosher. They had to follow all of the law, including the ceremonial law. But Paul will remind us that one becomes a child of Abraham not by circumcision and ceremony, but by having Abraham's faith. Such people, no matter their race, are truly Abraham's children and inherit the promises made to Abraham. Our first two verses, 6 and 7, tell us that as we trust in Christ, as we trust in the God of promises, we are reconciled to God and are counted as Abraham's children. He says in verse 6, "Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness." Paul begins by reminding us how Abraham was saved. And it was not by obedience, and it was not by circumcision. It was not by anything that Abraham did, but by trusting faith alone in what God would do for him. And this verse is actually a quotation of Genesis 15, verse 6. And its context there in Genesis is important. Now, years before, the Lord had made a promise to Abraham, who was already very old at the time, as was his wife. And God said, "I will make you a great nation." Now, at that time, Abraham and Sarah had no children. But Abraham trusted in the Lord that he would be good for that promise. And then Genesis 15 here comes many years later. And these elderly people still have no children. Abraham wonders if he's supposed to adopt his servant Eliezer. But the Lord clearly says no. The heir to the promise would come the usual way, that he would give Sarah and Abraham a child. And then we read in Genesis 15, verses 5 and 6, "The Lord took Abraham outside and said, 'Now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them. So shall your descendants be.' And Abraham believed the Lord and reckoned it to him as righteousness." Notice that Abraham and Sarah are elderly. God promises them more children than there are stars in the sky. And Abraham believes. But notice that we're not just talking about children here in the fulfillment of that promise. The scriptures are here describing how Abraham was eternally saved and reconciled to God. Like all of us, Abraham was born with Adam's sin upon him. And he was a sinner his whole life. He knew that he was weak. He knew that he was unable to gain God's favor. He knew he was unable to fulfill this promise on his own. He was powerless to do that. And so he trusts in God and God's promise. And by that faith alone, God counts Abraham, the sinner, as righteous. Now, how does God do that? Well, God has to supply then a righteousness for Abraham, because Abraham doesn't have it in and of himself. He, like us, is a sinner. And we're told in our verse that God takes righteousness that God supplies and counts it to Abraham. This is a gift of righteousness that Abraham did not earn, but is given by God on the basis of faith. And it is on the basis of that righteousness that God gives to Abraham that Abraham is justified, that he's pardoned of his sin, that he is eternally reconciled to the holy God. And so in Genesis 15 here, Paul is explaining how God reconciles the sinful Abraham to himself. It is by covering him with a righteousness that Abraham did not earn. And that is how salvation still works. That one is made right with God, not by obtaining righteousness, which is impossible for sinful people to do, but by faith alone, trusting in the promises of God. God covers us, gives us a righteousness that does not come from ourselves. He supplies it for us. As with Abraham, we must recognize our inability to be pleasing to God by doing things, or by obeying the law, or by trying to make it happen on our own. We are needy and powerless sinners. That the God of grace and of mercy makes promises to us in the gospel of grace, promises of what He will do for us. And then we trust in Him and His promises to salvation. Paul uses Abraham as this great example of salvation in Romans 4. He says, "What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited, to those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And so there again, Abraham is the great example of salvation. That he was not saved by doing things. He was not saved by circumcision. He was not saved by any other way, but by trusting in the God of promises. The God who saves us from ourselves in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is perfect for us, and who gave himself for our sins, and who is raised again from the dead. The righteousness that covered Abraham and that covers all believers from all ages is the righteousness of Christ. In the Old Testament days, that was covering them, and it was pictured in their worship. It was pictured in the spotless and perfect lambs that were offered for sacrifice. Ezekiel 46 and 13 says, "And you shall provide a lamb a year old without blemish for a burnt offering to the Lord daily. Morning by morning you shall provide it." The lambs were to be spotless, were to be without blemish, a picture of the sinlessness of Christ. And they were offered as a sacrifice, showing God's wrath put on a substitute. They were beautiful and wonderful pictures of what Christ would one day then do for all believers. Cover us in His righteousness and give Himself as a sacrifice for our sins. And in time, Christ came and fulfilled those pictures, perfectly obeying God's law and giving Himself as a sacrifice for sin on the cross. And so, we are reconciled to God And believers in the Old Testament were reconciled to God all through the work of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so we are saved in the same way Abraham was saved, by faith alone, by God's grace alone, in Jesus Christ alone. And so our verse 7 says, therefore be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. All those who trust in the Lord to salvation are sons of Abraham. And it's not about being circumcised like Abraham was, or becoming a practicing Jew as Abraham was. And like the Judaizers were saying, was the way to gain salvation. It's not about those things. It's about having the faith of Abraham, who understood his need. Paul points out there in Romans 4 that righteousness was credited to Abraham. And if you read that whole chapter, he makes it very clear that this happened before Abraham was circumcised. He isn't circumcised in Genesis until Genesis 17. And so he trusts in the Lord for this promise, and God covers him with this righteousness that is not his before that. And so Paul writes in Romans 4, he is the father of all who believe but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to them. It was not through the law that Abraham received the promise, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. Being saved as Abraham was saved, by faith alone, we become Abraham's spiritual children, part of his family, no matter our ethnic heritage, no matter where we come from. We are saved by faith alone. Jesus says in John 8 and 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Abraham looked to the promises of a Savior. He trusted in the Christ who was to come, even as we trust in the Christ who has come. Abraham realized that it's not about what he can do, but about what God does for him in grace. And as we trust in Christ as he's revealed in the gospel, it is sure, Paul says, that we are Abraham's true family. Not by circumcision, but simply by faith in Christ. Well, second, a family of all peoples by faith alone in verses 8 and 9. Next, Paul proves his point by moving forward to show that believers receive blessings that the Lord made to Abraham long ago, also by faith alone. He says, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. Here Paul quotes from Genesis 12 and 3, where the Lord God first makes his promises to Abraham. And this phrase comes at the end of a series of promises. The Lord says to Abraham, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of earth will be blessed. God promised Abraham, among all of those wonderful promises, that the nations of the world will be blessed through him. And here in our passage, Paul tells us that that blessing is salvation, that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, reconcile them to Him. Salvation would come to all the peoples of the world. And not only that, that it would come by the only way salvation does come, by faith alone. As Paul said earlier in chapter 2, a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. So God's word does not say Jesus plus circumcision, or Jesus plus obedience, or Jesus plus anything. Paul is very clear here. It is by faith alone. The gospel, the good news, is a gift of salvation by God's grace. And it was preached to Abraham many years ago. And Paul tells his readers it is the same gospel today. It is about Jesus alone and what He does for us. Notice that Paul did not invent this truth either. He says the Scripture preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. It is God's Word, written by God Himself, which presents this one gospel across the ages. Abraham was not saved by his religious deeds. Again, he wasn't even circumcised at this time. That had to wait until Genesis 17. And so, as the Judaizers are using maybe Abraham as an example, bad example. He was saved by faith alone before he was circumcised. So how can they come to Gentiles hearing the gospel and say you have to be circumcised to be saved? That wasn't true with Abraham, and it's not true now. Abraham was not saved either by being perfect. If you're familiar with his life, he was far from perfect. He was a godly man, but he also had his share of sins and failures. Abraham was saved by a righteousness that God supplied for him, by faith alone. Scripture tells us that God promised Abraham as well here, that the nations would be blessed by coming to know God and being reconciled to Him as Abraham was by the gospel of grace. Our verse 9 says, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. It is the ones who are of faith, who trust in the Lord for salvation, who are blessed with Abraham the believer. Notice that Paul uses the word blessed to describe those who are justified in the previous verse. So the blessing is justification. The blessing is being reconciled to the Holy God by a salvation He supplies. As Paul writes in Romans 4, verse 5, to the one who does not work, but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. We do not and cannot create a righteousness of our own to be reconciled to God. Like Abraham, we need to trust in God and His promises and receive Christ's righteousness. Paul writes in Philippians 3, I count all things to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. By God's grace, Paul saw the futility and the foolishness of trying to earn God's favor by obeying the law, and that the righteousness he needed to be reconciled to God came by faith alone and was supplied by God and earned by Christ. We are believers, And we're blessed with Abraham here, the believer. Not Abraham the circumcised, not Abraham the Jew, not Abraham the obedient, Abraham the believer. And if we want to follow Abraham's lead, we believe as Abraham believed and become reconciled to God in that way that God tells us. It's the only way to be reconciled, by faith alone. And so believers, both Jews and Gentiles, become the sons of Abraham in this one gospel, and all by God's grace. Paul writes to Gentile Christians in Ephesians 2 and says, "In Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made the two groups into one. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. We are one people in Christ, Jew and Gentile. All races from all nations who trust in Christ are children of Abraham by faith. There is one people of God, and it is those who trust in the Savior to salvation." Paul writes later on in Ephesians 4, "There is one body and one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." Believers have God the Father as our one Father, and humanly speaking, as we follow his lead, we are children of Abraham. We are Israel, Jews and Gentiles together, no matter our various races and nationalities. And we don't add anything to that simple faith in Christ to make that unity or that salvation happen. What an amazing blessing God gave to Abraham all those years ago, that a childless elderly man and his childless elderly wife would have countless descendants like the stars in the sky. And God is fulfilling that and will fulfill that, not by creating more ethnic Jews, not by making Gentiles become ethnic Jews, but by the gospel of grace, by people from all nations trusting in Christ to salvation by faith alone, that we come to know Christ as our Savior and Lord, and we are brought into the family of God and have Abraham as our father as we share in his faith. Let's pray together. Lord God, we do thank you for this portion of your word and ask that you might apply it to our hearts. We do thank you for the message of grace, that you do not accept us on the basis of things that we do, for we could never do enough. We understand by your Spirit and your grace that we are sinful, that we are fallen, and we can't fix that. And so we thank you for your grace to us, and we thank you for what Christ has done for us. We are helpless in our sins, just as Abraham was helpless to fulfill the promise on his own. And yet he trusted in you, and you saved him. You gave him a righteousness that was not his, that would be earned by Christ. And we thank you that as you tell us, we cannot save ourselves by goodness or ceremony or anything else. You also call on us to trust in you and your gospel promises. And we too are covered in the righteousness of Christ and accepted by you, the Holy God, on that basis. And so we thank you for what Christ has done, for his perfect life, atoning death, and resurrection from the dead, and that he has saved believers in the same way from ancient times past up to today and into the future. We thank you that we are one in Christ, no matter our race or background. You've called us to be one united family in him. And we thank you for the blessings that we enjoy in that unity. We thank you for all of these demonstrations of your grace. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.